Hey everyone, thanks for coming today. My name is Jake Fox. I'm one of the elders here at Village Church. We just appreciate you coming, whether it's your first time here or you've been coming with us since we opened. We just are glad you're here. And I'm up here today to continue John chapter 7, which we started last week. But before we dive into the verses that Nick read us earlier, I just want to give you two heads-up things. The first is, throughout these verses, there's 11 of them, Jesus is trying to explain two different things to the religious leaders, to the crowd. So one part of the verses is set for one topic, and the next part will be set for a second topic. So just keep that in mind as we're going through it. It'll be kind of a little back and forth between Jesus and the religious leaders in a just back and forth conversation. The second thing is, how did we get to where we are today? So if you guys remember last week, or if you weren't here, I'll update you on what you guys missed. Jesus is by himself in this story. He's not with his disciples. He starts the story out in Galilee with his brothers, just right before the Feast of the Tabernacles, the Festival of Booths, whatever you would like to call it, which is a week-long festival where you'd have all these people come. They would put up a bunch of booths, they'd put up a bunch of tents, they would camp out, and they would just try to remember what their forefathers did, going from Egypt to the wilderness with Moses, camping out in the stars, just as a remembrance to them. So his brothers thought it would be a great idea to take Jesus there, whether it was to show him off, whether they were jealous of him, or they wanted people to notice them as well. They wanted him to go and perform miracles. But Jesus told them, no, this is not why I'm here. I'm not here to perform miracles. I'm not going with you all. So they end up heading up on the first day, on about a week-long event. And what Jesus does is he heads out about on the fourth day by himself and enters in. And this is when we'll pick up for where? Verse 14. So we've got John 7, 14. When the festival was already half over, Jesus went up to the temple and began to teach. So just like I said, Jesus could have gone with his brothers. He chose not to. This was not God's will for him for this time. He did not want to go to perform miracles. He has something else in mind, which we'll see here in just a few minutes. So Jesus goes in the middle of the week, kind of secretive. No one knows he's there. He's not looking for a grand entrance. He's looking just to sneak his way in, go to the temple, and he wants to teach. That's all he wants to do. So trying to avoid a great entrance, we can see he sneaks in by himself. Yet he goes to the temple, which is probably going to be one of the busiest places at this time. He goes there to teach, knowing good and well that it'll stir a crowd, which will bring the religious leaders there, which will bring more people there, and he'll be able to talk to them. And he knows what's coming. He knows that the religious leaders are going to do whatever they can to either, you know, to make him look bad, to make people believe that he's not the Messiah, that he's not who he says he is. However, for them, that will be hard. Because Jesus, he always taught boldly. He's never shrinking down when it comes to proclaiming the truth. He did not want to make a grand entrance into this festival. He doesn't want the focus to be on him. He wants the focus to be on his teaching and what God has to say. So, once again, Jesus is showing us he is not here to give us what we want. He is not here to give his brothers a show to do the miracles, to make them look good. He is here to show us that he is here to give us what we actually need, which, for this case, is definitely most of the time different than what we actually want. So we're going to move on here to verse 15. The Jews were amazed and said, "How is this man so learned, since he hasn't been trained?" So the religious leaders were dumbfounded at how Jesus knew as much as he did. throughout his teaching, he's able to quote scripture. He's able to refer back to everything. He can quote it without looking anything up. He doesn't need help when he's talking. He knows it. He's able to explain it in ways that they just don't understand. And the religious leaders are upset by this, because what they would do usually to become a teacher, to become a preacher, to know as much as they would know, you would be taken under the wing of a rabbi, usually for a few years, and they would teach you the scripture, the Old Testament letters, and during that time you would learn over the course of that. But Jesus did not do that. And they want to point that out. Even Paul studied under a religious leader. His name was Gamaliel. And I put it here in Acts 22, where Paul points out that even he went under the teaching of a rabbi. So we got here in Acts 22:3, he continued, which is Paul. "I am a Jew born of Tarsus in Cilicia and brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the law of our ancestors. I was zealous for God, just as you are today." But Jesus did not follow the normal course of education. He did not do the proper training for what the religious leaders would say is the way to actually become a teacher. Yet, they cannot condemn Jesus for what he knew, because Jesus was speaking the truth when he was teaching. He spoke true doctrine. He spoke to the Old Testament. So what the religious leaders did is they attacked his credentials, saying that Jesus didn't take the proper steps to be here today. He shouldn't be able to teach because he's not what we would call today. He didn't go to seminary school. And that's how they're going to attack him. They don't understand how Jesus knows so much about the Bible without studying it, when if they only knew that who the true author of the books that they were studying was, which was Jesus. So this is, I mean, he knows everything, yet they're just blind to the fact of this. They were attacking him out of jealousy, envy. They were just trying to attack his education. I believe that when you cannot find any fault of what a man is teaching, then you try to criticize the man himself. And this is what the religious leaders were trying to do. But the key word here is they were just trying, but they were not succeeding. So we're going to move on to John chapter 7, verse 16. So Jesus is going to respond to them at this accusation. And Jesus answered them, "My teaching isn't mine, but from the one who sent me." So as you see here, Jesus does not respond by defending his credentials. He does not get defensive, but instead he responds by telling them to look at his doctrine, what he's teaching, how he's teaching. Judge him on what he says, not how he learned it. Jesus is inviting them to correct what he's saying if what he's saying is incorrect, but that's not going to be able to happen, because he knows that his teaching cannot be picked apart. He knows that what he's speaking holds true to the Old Testament letters. But the religious leaders, if they would have just listened to what Jesus was saying, instead of just condemning him on the spot, instead of just condemning him for what he didn't do, he didn't go through the steps that they've gone, they're a little jealous of him. If they would have just listened to him, they would know that what he's saying holds true to what they have been taught. The Old Testament learnings and the Old Testament scripture, what Jesus was saying, mirrors what the Old Testament taught them. He was speaking the word of the Father, but they are the ones choosing not to listen. Jesus is not doing the teaching of man here. He's doing the teaching of God, and it looks different. He's speaking on behalf of the Father. He's not self-taught, taught by men. He's God-taught. And he is here to carry on the message of God. And they will not find false teachings in what he has to say. Which brings me to myself. Like, I do not have a seminary degree. I didn't go to a Christian college. I grew up in church my whole life, but to the eyes of the religious leaders, I shouldn't be up here teaching to you guys. I don't have the qualifications in their eyes to be up here. But that's not going to stop me from coming up here, because I just have a message to bring, and that message is the Word of God. I'm not here to come up with something new or exciting that you guys have never heard of before. It's not what I say that will save you, but what God will say. There's more than one way to learn the Scripture, and I think that's what God is telling us here. We don't have to have all the degrees to know the Scripture. We can study it ourselves. All we got to do is read our Bible. Because God can use a highly educated person that went to seminary, that went to Christian school, but he can also use just your average person, as long as they truly know the Bible. And to truly know our Bible means we need to read our Bible. We need to study our Bible. We need to dive into it. And I think that's what God is trying to say here. You know, the religious leaders are attacking him from his credentials when they should just be listening to what he has to say. Because if they just listen to what he says, he's speaking the truth and he's speaking everything that they learned. They're just choosing not to listen. So we're going to continue here. Verse 17 and 18. If anyone wants to do his will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I'm speaking on my own. The one who speaks on his own seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. You see, spiritual learning is not just knowing the facts like the religious leaders did. You've got to be able to take the knowledge in the Word of God and apply it. You've got to be able to spread it to others. You need to have the ability to be able to pass it on to the next person. What good is it if you know that God loves the world, but the world does not know? So, what good is it that if God loves the world, but the world does not know? So we've got to be those who take the Word of God, spread it to others, not just know the facts and keep it to ourselves. So if you would just do God's will, then you would have a better understanding of the big biblical doctrine that God is talking about. Jesus is calling them out by saying that they are preaching the will of man, not the will of the Father. They're preaching for themselves, not to bring glory to God. I believe if you want to know God's will, pursue obedience to God in your own life. So why don't you start obeying God now? What's stopping you? And once again, the world. We've got jealousy, envy. It's hard to follow God sometimes. It's not always the way the world makes it look bad. The world makes what they want to do look enticing. The world makes what they want to do the right way to do it, and it makes Christianity look hard, not fun, but that's not the case. Because it's not about us. You see, Jesus does not seek out his own glory here. He's here teaching. He's not here to show off. He's there just to bring glory to God and bring glory to the Father. See, there's no unrighteousness in him. He's a sinless person. I mean, I can't imagine saying that about myself. I mean, even from when I've woke up today to when I've gotten up here, I cannot say that I have been unrighteous this morning. Yet Jesus calls himself unrighteous here, knowing good and well that he's going to be the only unrighteous person in here. knowing good and well that the religious leaders are sinners, yet they're the ones judging him right now. And I think of this because if Jesus is talking, his teaching is true, his doctrine is sound. But the religious leaders are the ones claiming to know everything. The religious leaders, they went to school, they did the teaching, they put in the work. But if they honestly could say that they had any knowledge in what they taught, if they truly did, they would know that what they were teaching was not of God, but of man. They would know that they are up there teaching for themselves and not to bring glory for the God. But they don't. And this would be the first thing of the two that I was telling you about, is what makes up a good teacher. And I think is, what is the person teaching? Does it come from God? And is the message according to Scripture? So is the person up there teaching what God says? And does it line up with what the Scripture says? Because the religious leaders are not doing that. They're tweaking things. They'd rather do the law of Moses sometimes than the law of God, which we'll find out here in just a little bit. And does the work that the teacher is doing bring glory to God, or are they just trying to bring glory to themselves? You know, this is a question I have to think about when I get up here, is why am I up here? Am I up here hoping that something I say, something that I do, brings you closer to God? Or am I up here reminding myself that my words will not save you, but God's words will? So I'm just a guy up here rereading the words that God's already written down, reading the perfect words that God's already said to you guys. I'm just his messenger. And that's what I have to believe before I get up here and teach. All right, so we're going to move on to the second, what I would consider the second half of these verses. The second thing that Jesus is going to try to explain to them. So verse 19. Didn't Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? Verse 20. You have a demon, the crowd responded. Who is trying to kill you? So we're going to cover these verse by verse. We're going to start with verse 19. With none of you keeps the law. You know, the religious leaders would kind of put themselves up on a pedestal. They'd kind of think they were better than other people. Obviously, they're criticizing Jesus right now. Yet, they can't even hold the law 100%. And that's the law of Moses, let alone the law of God. And Jesus has no problem in stating that he's sinless, that he has no unrighteousness in him, just like he did in the last verse. And he has no problem calling out that they can't even keep up the law of Moses. You see, the religious leaders wanted to hold Jesus to the law of Moses and not to the law of God, which they were keeping neither. And Jesus responds by letting them know that he is sinless, that none of them keep the law. So he asks them, why are you trying to kill me? Jesus wants them to know that they are the ones who's guilty, not him. They are the ones that need to be judged. Yet they are the ones trying to be the judge. So I'm going to ask you, church, how often do we judge each other? Do we not look at other sins a little bit more critically than we do our own? I mean, how much easier is it to judge our neighbor's sins when we ourselves do the same sins in secret behind closed doors? You know, we may struggle with something, but as long as we keep it to ourselves, it's okay. You know, no one knows about it. It's just a secret. It's okay. And I think the religious leaders also have a secret here in this that the crowd doesn't know about. Because the crowd responds with, you have a demon. Who's trying to kill you? And this is the secret that the religious leaders have. The people were not all aware of what happened back in John chapter 5 when Jesus heals the cripple. They're unaware that the religious leaders want Jesus dead. So they're confused when Jesus says that you were trying to kill me. Jesus is talking specifically to the religious leaders, and the crowd is confused. But just to remind us of what exactly happened, if you could turn with me back to John chapter 5, we're going to read verse 8 through 16 just to try to remind ourselves what exactly happened and what Dale talked about that week. So verse 8, "Get up," Jesus told him, "pick up your mat and walk." Instantly, the man got well, picked up his mat, and started to walk. Now that day was the Sabbath. Verse 10, "And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, 'This is the Sabbath. The law prohibits you from picking up your mat.' He replied, 'The man who made me well told me, pick up your mat and walk.' 'Who is this man that told you, pick up your mat and walk?' they asked. 13, "But the man who healed did not know who it was, because Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. After this, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, 'See, you are well. Do not sin anymore, so that something worse doesn't happen to you.'" 15, "The man went and reported it to the Jews, that it was Jesus who had made him well. Therefore, the Jews began to persecute Jesus because he was doing things on the Sabbath." You see, they did not like the fact that Jesus healed on the Sabbath, but they definitely didn't like the fact that Jesus asked the man to pick up his mat and walk, because this was causing the man to perform work on the Sabbath in their eyes. And they just did not like that he healed a man on the Sabbath. And Jesus is going to respond to this. He's going to continue in verse 21 by saying, "I performed one work, and you were all amazed," Jesus answered. Verse 22, "This is why Moses has given you circumcision. Not that it comes from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses won't be broken, are you angry at me because I made a man entirely well on the Sabbath?" So Jesus is asking the religious leaders, if it's okay to hurt someone on the Sabbath, is it not also okay to heal someone on the Sabbath? You know, back then it was permitted as well as commanded to do a negative on the Sabbath, such as circumcision, if it came down to that day. They were able to do this to create a negative, to hurt someone. And it was looked at with great joy. They were obeying the law of Moses. But God is showing them that he is obeying the law of God. So he asks them, "How is it okay to hurt someone on the Sabbath if I cannot heal someone on the Sabbath?" And he continues. This is also going to be our last topic. Jesus has no problem of just saying it straight out forward. "Stop judging according to outward appearances. Rather, judge according to righteous judgment." This is what we're called to do. We're called to not to judge by appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. The religious leaders in the crowd judged on appearance. They judged Jesus on what they knew of him, what they saw of him, his lack of education, and that's how they judged him. They would rather look at a man and question what he knows based on his appearance and his education, not where he learned it, where he learned God's truth. It didn't matter that he knew it. It didn't matter that he was speaking truth. They judged him. They had the audacity to look at Jesus and say, there's no way that you should know this because you've not gone through the proper steps like we have. There's no way. Yet Jesus is the one speaking truth. However, they are the ones that are blind to the fact that what Jesus is saying is true. If anyone should have been judged here, it should not be Jesus. It should be them. They are the ones wrongfully judging based on appearance, not judging on righteous judgment. They are the ones who see that Jesus, what Jesus is saying, they're not saying what Jesus is saying is holding truth to their biblical teaching, to their Old Testament scripture. They're blind to that fact. And they are the ones who will ultimately be judged. But they chose to judge him anyway, when they probably didn't know that one day that they will be judged by the God that they tried to persecute and one day kill. So I ask you guys, would it not be better for us to judge blindfolded? That way, that if we have to judge, their eyes cannot deceive us. That way, we do not look at someone's appearance and judge them by the way they look, but by what they believe, by what they say, and what their doctrine shows. Justice does not judge according to appearance. A wealthy man or woman is not more righteous than a homeless man or woman. We are called by God himself to not judge by appearance, but we are called to judge by righteous judgment. So, some verses you guys have seen before, but we all like to end on it just in case. John chapter 20, verse 30. Jesus performed many other signs in his presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. Verse 31. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing this, you may have life in his name. Let us pray. Dear God, just thank you for letting us come here today just to get to dive into your word. Lord, allow us just to take what you've said today, Lord. Allow us to learn what a teacher is, what we should look for in a teacher. Lord, that we should just be bringing glory to you and to you alone. Lord, and I pray, Lord, that we're also, if we are called to judge, that we do it blindfolded, Lord, that we judge with righteous judgment, not on appearance, but by what people say, the way they act. Lord, just you led by example and allow us just to follow you the best we can. And we pray this all in your name. Amen.